So my dear brothers and sisters, today's gospel is a continuation of the gospel of last week. And I don't know if you remember the gospel of last week, but to kind of give today's gospel a little context, I'm going to quickly go over the gospel of last week. As you may remember, Jesus is going with his disciples to the district of Caesarea Philippi. He's taking his disciples there away from where he's working most of his miracles, and he's going to a place of what was the pagan center of worship of the time of Jesus. So everything that Jesus does for a reason. And as he's on this walk toward Caesarea Philippi, he asked the disciples, "Who do people say that I am?" And of course, the disciples answer him. They say, "Some say you're John the Baptist. Some say you're Elijah. Some say you're Jeremiah. Some say you're a prophet." And of course, the Jewish people did not believe in reincarnation, but what they were saying was, what the people were saying was that Jesus was in the same mission of John the Baptist and Elijah and Jeremiah, which is to prepare the way for the coming of the Messiah. The people were not going as far as saying he was the Messiah, but they were comparing him to the prophets. And so then Jesus asked the question, and he says, "Okay, who do you say that I am?" And Peter, who is a very relatable figure in the Gospels, especially, I really love the figure of Peter, because for me he's very relatable, because Peter has a moment of inspiration of the Holy Spirit, which is we all have that experience. Like, we get a moment, you know, where we're inspired by the Holy Spirit. But what makes Peter relatable is he has his moments, and 5 seconds later, he puts his foot in his mouth, you know. And I think that that's something that I don't know if you can relate to, but I know that it's something that I can relate to. I can have a moment of inspiration by the Holy Spirit, and I'm ready to follow God, and then 5 seconds later, my foot is in my mouth for some crazy thing that I said or did. So Peter is relatable. So anyway, Peter says, "You are the Christ, the Son of the living God," and Jesus says to him, "Blessed are you, Simon Bar-Jonah, for flesh and blood has not revealed this to you, and I tell you, you are Peter, and on this rock I will build my church." And so we see, because Peter answers for the apostles, we have the primacy of Peter. We have Peter having his moment. And we get to today's gospel, in which Jesus is now saying, "Okay, so I am the Christ. And here is what the Christ must do. The Christ must go to Jerusalem and die." And now Peter will put his foot in his mouth. Peter will say, "No, Lord, you can't do that. That's not what we're expecting." Again, I think this is something that's relatable for all of us, is, you know, in our relationship with God, especially in our prayer life, a lot of times when we pray, we have this tendency to say, "Okay, Lord, I present to you my prayers, my situation, my problems that you need to solve." But we also have a tendency to not only present the problem, but we have a tendency to say, "Okay, God, and I figured out how you can solve the problem. And so here's the problem, and here is the playbook for you to solve the problem. If you follow this playbook, my problem will be solved fantastically." And what happens is, inevitably, God doesn't then follow the playbook that we work so hard to give him, and we get upset because God didn't do what we asked. And so we forget, like Peter, we try to impose our views of God on God. And that's what Peter is trying to do. He's trying to impose his way of the how the Messiah should be. Also, the Jewish way of what the Messiah should be, that they were expecting somebody that would come and raise up a military and kick the Romans out of occupied Israel and restore the kingdom of Israel. And that's what the Jewish people want at the time. That's what they're waiting for. And gosh darn it, that's what they're going to get. And Peter is trying to press that. And instead, Jesus says to him, "Get behind me, Satan, because you are impeding me from doing the will of God." Another thing, my dear brothers and sisters, is something that we can all learn, which is to get out of the way of the Lord, because we impede. Who is our worst enemy? Is the devil. But after the devil, who's our worst enemy? We are. We are our own worst enemies. We have an amazing capacity to not only dig a hole, get ourselves into a hole, but we have an amazing capacity to keep digging the hole and making it deeper. And so we are our own worst enemies. And so today Christ comes to us and says, "Get behind me, because you are not on the side of God, but on the side of men." And so then the question is, my dear brothers and sisters, how do we get on the side of God? And Jesus will answer this question in the next second part of the gospel when he says, "Then Jesus told his disciples, 'If anyone would come after me, let him deny himself and take up his cross and follow me.'" So what is God's way? How do we put ourselves on the side of God? By carrying our cross. Now, that's a Catholic jargon word that we throw around a lot, and you may be thinking, well, what does that mean? What is a cross? My dear brothers and sisters, we all face crosses in our life. That is, we all face things that make us suffer. And if we are really honest with ourselves, nobody in this room likes to suffer. At least I don't think that there's anybody in this room that likes to suffer. And so our tendency in front of that which makes us suffer is not to face what makes us suffer, but rather is to figure out a plan to avoid what will make us suffer. And this cross that we have is different for each one of us. It could be somebody in our family that we're not able to love them. It could be a situation at work. It could be an illness. It could be something with our children, or for the children, it could be our parents. There's any number of a million crosses that we can have in our life that make us suffer and that we don't want to face. But this is why Jeremiah, the word of the prophet Jeremiah this morning, gives us courage, because Jeremiah is in the same situation when he says, you duped me, O Lord, and I let myself be duped. What is Jeremiah saying? Jeremiah is saying, why do I have to play the fool as the prophet? This is what, if I summarize what Jeremiah is saying. Jeremiah is saying, I'm tired of nobody liking me, nobody listening to me, of everyone wanting to kill me, of everyone wanting to get rid of me. I'm tired. And Jeremiah understands, he doesn't want to suffer either. I mean, he doesn't want to be disliked and thought of badly and want people plotting to kill him. He wants the easy life. But Jeremiah says, but Lord, your word is like a fire in me that if I don't act, if I don't say what you are telling me to say, then I can't live. In other words, I have to do the will of God even though I hate it. My dear brothers and sisters, that is what the cross is for us. Is that which God calls us to carry, but not so that we suffer, but so that we carry it with Christ. So that we carry it in a different way. So that we stop trying to figure it out ourselves. You know, we use so much energy trying to figure out how to go around the cross, go the other way from the cross. When, my dear brothers and sisters, our happiness is in that cross. If think about that for a second. Our happiness, our true peace is standing right in front of us every day. Okay, so that's all good. That's all well and good. Okay, Father, you said to carry my cross. Okay, that's all well and good. Very good. Now, how do we do that? Because we will go out of these doors, and I assure you that you, in sometime this week, probably not just sometime this week, within 2 minutes of leaving this church, you will encounter your cross. And how do we handle that cross that we encounter? Well, first, my dear brothers and sisters, what we first must do, I want to try to give three practical things that we can do this week. And maybe we want to try this on the smaller cross. You know, we have different size crosses because the bigger ones are a little difficult. But if you're brave enough and the Holy Spirit inspires you, try it with the big cross too. But so one of the first things that we need to do before encountering the cross, as we're going to the cross, instead of preparing mentally, the first thing we have to do, which is very difficult, is stop. Just stop for 1 second. Don't do anything. Don't plan anything. Just saying to the Lord, okay, Lord, what is the cross that I'm going to face today? And stop. Already, if we do that first step, as a major victory. Because we all have a tendency to be like bulls in a china closet when it comes to doing things our way. Not just like bulls, but blinded bulls with blinders. We just plow ahead. And so if we first thing we can do is stop. Then once we're able to stop, to say to the Lord, to ask the Lord for the grace to carry the cross that is being presented to us. To just stop and say, Lord, give me the grace to handle this situation, whatever it may be. Now, that's even harder than stopping, because that means that we have to admit that we have to allow God to have some control. That gives God some control. The last step is going to give God full control, and this is even harder for us. Because once we've stopped, once we've asked for the grace to carry the cross, then, my dear brothers and sisters, we have to allow God to work with us. We have to give permission to God to handle the cross His way. We have to allow God to work. And I tell you, my dear brothers and sisters, God wants to give us every strength we need to carry our crosses, to carry those things that look like the Rocky Mountains to us in our life, that look like we'll never get over it, we'll never get through it, it's never going to get better, it's only going to get harder. And my dear brothers and sisters, God wants to take that mountain and make it into a plain. God wants to give you every grace and blessing you need to carry your cross this week, today. Why? Because he wants us to be happy. But that happiness depends on us carrying our crosses and following Christ. And so today, my dear brothers and sisters, as we come to this Eucharist, we ask the Lord, because the Eucharist, as I've said many times, is food for the journey. And we need all the help we can get in the journey of our life. And we need all the graces we can get. And today, Christ offers his graces, what we need to carry that cross and to follow Christ. Let us stand and profess our faith.